Well, guess what? We can call ladies' boobs boobs again. Now, when we're talking about boobs and breasts, you will know, you don't have to guess anymore, that I mean ladies' boobs, ladies' breasts, because they're back, guys. Boobs mean boobs now. The era of gender-neutral language is over. We've liberated the boobs, and I don't mean in a bra burning kind of way. The National Health Service in the UK is announcing a ban on gender neutral terms for the female body in all of their healthcare services in England. The major one here is chest feeding. Hate this word. Can't tell you enough how much I hate this word. Hate this word times 10 and then multiply that by infinity. That's how much I hate this word. Now we'll go back to calling it breastfeeding, which very much, I think, validates the boobs that I'm wearing right now. Because I was not a chest feeder by wearing, I mean, owning them.
As you say,
a boob haver.
You're not wearing like, yeah, some weird like contraption.
No, they are a part of me. Yeah. They are, yeah, to quote from Seinfeld, mm-hmm. they are real.
And they're fabulous.
Now, again, I could breastfeed my children, which I did, all three of them, because I have breasts and mammaries and I was born with a woman. Feels so good to just say that, because we weren't allowed to say this for the last decade. This major change comes after the CAST review, a major study funded by the NHS, showed that gender-affirming care is based on quackery and hurting children. So they're stepping back from these things that they never had any reason to do other than to please ideologists. And I really think we're going to look back on these last 10 years in the same way we do in the era of all sorts of horrific experimentation on vulnerable people, such as lobotomies. I want to show you something about that later, so stay tuned. This change by the National Health Service in England, I think, is a major indicator of the crack in the dam. So why did we ever forsake the boobs? Well, because people who want to deny gender reality were upset with words like breastfeeding because it made it clear that they were women and they didn't want to be women. So then we were supposed to say that men could breastfeed too. Even saying that makes me want to punch somebody. It makes me so mad because that's ours. We have that. We don't share that with men. For instance, this person who said that pregnancy and labor made them feel really dysphoric. This is Logan Brown, a biological female who had a baby and called themselves a pregnant man. But Logan Brown was so sensitive about their body being called female that the very process of birth was upsetting to them. Here's a quote saying, "When I was in labor and there was so much attention being paid to what was going on down there, it did get to the point where I burst out crying and said, I need a C-section. It was too overwhelming and dysphoric." Okay, you're a shit mother for saying that, because a C-section is not good for the baby. That for all sorts of reasons, women try to avoid it. And when you have to do it, you have to do it. But she didn't have to do it. She didn't want to do it because there was too much focus on her vagina making her feel too much like a woman because she was in labor. So when you become a parent, it's not about you anymore. And one of the defining characteristics of having a baby is that you surrender your body and how it looks for the sake of the baby. You're not the most important thing here. So Logan Brown, you don't get to tell us moms that we can't claim boobs and birth as part of womanhood. They are our thing. We don't have to share it. The NHS also says that women can specifically request female-only providers, and they cannot be given a trans woman and told that that counts. It doesn't count. Last year, this woman, Teresa Steele, had a surgery canceled because she told the hospital she wanted a female staff only, and then they did just that. They sent her a trans person, and when she said, no, thank you, they chucked her out of the hospital and said, you're not being sensitive to our staff. You got to go. And they canceled her surgery. They did later apologize for this. Now, these are the kind of things that will not be allowed anymore for the NHS. So Teresa Steele can go in and say, I would like female-only providers, and she will get them, which means the NHS has to acknowledge who is a female and who is not. But here are some other things that I hope I see that we see just crumbling with all of this. For instance, men who are not doctors, that lecture about periods. Remember this dude in Scotland, hired by the government to be a period dignity spokesperson.
I love that, yeah.
Even though he lacks the basic qualification of ever having had one. There was backlash, obviously, and this position was revoked. How about this? No more nonsense like this. A women's endometriosis charity appointed this trans person as a CEO. This is Steph Richards. Now, see this quote here? Let's leave this up for a second. In the yellow box with the little star saying, isn't it ridiculous that I've got into my 40s before any medical professional even mentioned endometriosis? So women found that exceedingly offensive because no doctor would ever tell Steph Richards about the risk of endometriosis, given that they lack a uterus, so therefore cannot get endometriosis. And people who have had that are like, are you making fun of us? Because Steph is never going to get that talk. That's not appropriate for Steph Richards. And people went bonkers to the point that go ahead.
I was going to say like all those times that my general practitioner tells me about menopause because I'm getting close to that age, and they're right. Like, I just want you to know.
Yeah. You should demand that from now on.
Going to go through.
Yeah. This happens. Won't happen to you, but we can talk about it. This made women so mad that the Endometriosis Society had to put this apology. Like, sorry, it looked like Steph said that quote. Obviously, Steph would not say that quote. Steph is, though, a huge advocate for what people in the endo community go through. Even this apology is bullshit because look how they use the word people. Steph is a huge advocate for what people... No, women get endometriosis. End of story. That's for women. It goes on the uterus if you're unlucky. It's not something you would ever wish on your worst enemy. Well, now we can all agree that Steph is not the person to best represent a uterus problem, nor is Steph an OB. When someone on Twitter was upset about this, here was what Steph Richards said in response. Well, hey, you know, I was researching issues around pregnancy and women's health over 2 decades ago. Sex didn't come into it. Okay. I don't know if she read those papers, but okay. And when you zoom into those in images, you see that those are not papers written by Steph Richards. Those are academic papers that Steph Richards printed out with the dateline 2006 as proof that they've been reading them. Okay, that doesn't make one an expert. All of these are examples of the gender madness in this gender ideology era. And I think we're going to call it that, the gender ideology, maybe decade and a half, the era, because this is proof that it's starting to end. Now, I want to show you something to maybe collectively think about how history will remember this time, because we have had periods of history before where we did things to vulnerable people in the name of mental health that had no science behind it, and it was really hurting them. This is from the WPATH files. You may recall these were leaked communications from the World Professional Association for Transgender Health. WPATH is not a medical society. They are, what would we call them? They're a body of experts that dictate how they want trans people to be treated. In these leaked files, we see time after time that doctors are acknowledging that they're winging it with what they call gender-affirming care and hurting people in the meantime. Now, the Center for Environmental Progress, which published the WPATH files, which is an interesting read if you want to take a few hours and go through it, they say that the gender-affirming care and all the surgeries that we've done and all the ways we've taken away rights from women, it will go down in history like these two scandals. First off, lobotomies. Do you know what a lobotomy is? It's the surgical removal of healthy brains. And that was pseudoscientific, and it happened in the mid-20th century. And there was a widely held belief at the time that it was the most effective and humane treatment for mental illness, with a brutal surgical procedure that involved blindly swinging sharp instruments in the brain to sever the frontal lobe connections. Now, lobotomies were invented by a man named Antonio Egas-Moniz, and he won a Nobel Prize for it in 1948. Doesn't this blow your mind to go back over it now It's wild. The doctors who brought them to America were named Walter Freeman and James Watts. Now, Freeman invented the transorbital lobotomy, which involved hammering a surgical instrument resembling an ice pick through the eye socket of the brain. He would say that his procedure was a success if the patients could leave the asylum and be cared for at home at the level of a domestic invalid or household pet. He also became convinced that the earlier the procedure was performed, the better, because of the misguided belief that patients were destined to deteriorate otherwise, which meant he was advocating for surgery for the first line of treatment for those with even mild mental illnesses. Now, maybe you know this, Clayton, do you know this about Rosemary Kennedy?
What about?
That she was the victim of a lobotomy.
Yeah.
You guys already know this.
Yeah.
What do you know about it? Do you want to?
Yeah.
It was part of the family's secret, and it was like kept basically in a vegetative state.
Yes.
It's almost like a royal family secret, keeping like one of the, you know, we don't want to talk about Rosemary. She's up in the wing.
And she was otherwise like vibrant and full alacrity and everything before they did it. It was for a trivial matter and left her basically like ended her life well before she died.
Right.
Oh, I didn't know that she was otherwise fine, because you can see here that he would advocate it for even those with mild mental illness, which is a problematic term in and of itself. So like, oh, you're starting to go downhill a little bit. Let's just hammer at your brain a little bit. But look what it says here, that some end up permanently disabled and approximately 15% died. So you would think that maybe it would be like, okay, maybe we should not do experimental things on people anymore that hurts them or disfigures them without research. This was predicated by a procedure in the in the 19th century called ovariotomy. Let's say it that way. Do you know what this is, Philip? Besides reading the screen?
It would be the removal of an ovary.
Okay, yes.
Based on the prefixes.
Yeah. It was where they would attempt to cure mental illness with gynecological surgery, where they, basically removed the ovaries for a variety of mental illnesses in women, ranging from menstrual madness, nymphomania, masturbation, and all cases of insanity. This practice, known as the way Philip just pronounced it, enjoyed the support of many of the leading gynecologists and psychologists of the era, psychiatrists, and it is estimated that over 100,000 women had their healthy ovaries removed between 1872 and 1900.
Wow.
This being a long time before the invention of antibiotics and adequate surgical cleanliness procedures, approximately 30% of women died as a result of this medically unnecessary operation. So now flash forward and think about breast removal, penis removal, testicle removal, the construction of a neo-vagina, stripping down people's forearms in order to construct a phallus that does not work and has a high rate of infection, shoulder shaving, all manner of facial reconstruction. Now, that's not to say, right, that there's not research on plastic surgery, but some of the things I'm talking about here have horrific endings for people who are given this as a solution to pre-existing conditions. Most of them have autism. So again, this is what the WPATH files and myself agree, how we are looking at this through the lens of past mistakes. Here's what they say. 70 years later, we find ourselves with the moral high ground. Without the moral high ground, in the age of evidence-based medicine, we once again find ourselves witness to a medical world performing surgical mutilations on healthy bodies in the quest to cure mental illness. But instead of targeting the brain, today's surgeons are targeting the genitals. So, is that how we want to be remembered? Because that's, I think, exactly like what we're going through now will be in a textbook about this, unless we learn, unless something comes next, right? Unless we start doing this again, what do you think will be next? If we do learn the lesson here, will people want to become part cyborg? That's probably it, right? That's the next thing.
Well, yeah, we're going to have
yourself part cyborg.
Implanted with something like, what's the thing that the...
Elon Musk's chip, the Neuralink.
Neuralink, yeah.
Yeah. But until then, while we're righting wrongs, right now I have a list of other words I do not want to see used around me or in the OB office. Ovary havers, uterus owners, bepenised women. Nope. Women don't have penises. Human milk feeders. I hate that one a lot. And my very least favorite is pregnant people. So let's take all of those, trash those words while we're at it. Let me know what you think. Is this going to be to go down as a scandal of our decade or not?
It's kind of hard when you got COVID mixed in there. You got COVID and biopharmaceutical complex pushing COVID jabs at the same time this is all happening. So they're competing right now for each other. Go ahead, Philip.
I feel like there was a bit of a bait and switch with this story, though, because I was led to believe we'd be talking about boobies, and I was left with a mental image of ice picks and eyeballs. And
I know, I was going to say that, too.
I was
promised boobs, and I got ice picks to the eyes.
Talk about a mood killer. Man. That girl's into some stuff.
I really hope you enjoyed watching this video. You know, YouTube thinks that you'll actually like this next video right here. It's personalized based on your own viewing habits. So if you watch the video, please leave a comment. Let us know what you think about it. And we will see you next time, everyone.